Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for tuning in on this Monday night, July the 1st. So, you know that means we're starting a month off with more than four Mondays. So we would like to say the start of this America's national holiday that's coming up on the 4th of July. Thank you all for joining in. And we're going to watch God set some fireworks off tonight to just blow up his word, send the sparklers out to just light up his word, and just send out the little firecrackers so you could just hear his word pop in your ears, heart, and in your soul, and in your spirit. I am your host on the night, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, along with Minister Sheila Kaiser. We are here. We are excited. And we are ready to hear what the Lord is saying. We are going to let you know this Monday night, the ministry of Smile 3, Iron Sharpening Iron, starts at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time and or 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are looking forward to the woman of God to bring the word on tonight. But before we get into that part of the service, we're going to let Minister Sheila Kaiser pray with us and for us. And then I will come back and introduce the speaker to you. Okay, Minister Sheila, are you ready?
Yes, and thank you, thank you, thank you, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright. And I want to thank each and every one of you that's listening, however you can, to participate and to enjoy the word on tonight's program. But I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for blessing us all on this earth to see the first day of a new month of this new year that you have birthed us into with joy, love, and life from you, through you, and we really need you. God, I give honor to you. I give honor to you, Father God, and to your Son, Christ Lord Jesus, for life, love, mercy, and to hold my faith and love in my life, because I know if it wasn't I nor anyone breathing today would be here. Lord, I ask you to bless each and every one of us. I ask you to bless my sisters, my blood sisters, my spiritual sisters, my daughters, my sons, my granddaughters, my grandsons, my brothers, my cousins, my whole bloodline family, and my spiritual family. God, we give honor to you. We need to thank you and to praise you and to love you more and more each day because you are the cause of us having life. Lord, I ask you to bless each and every person and let them know, no matter what they're going through, health-wise, financial-wise, on their job, through their family, through their husbands or wives, their daughters or sons, their neighbors, co-workers, no matter what it is, that they can put it in your hands, Lord. Leave it up to you. You can solve all problems, no matter what it is. You can put a hand on it and make it right. Well, we need to love you more. I have to keep saying it. We have to thank you and thank you and thank you. I want to give honor and ask you to bless Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Brandon Kaiser, Dr. Serena Wright, and to all of the worshipers and ministries that have given honor in their life to you. Lord, I ask you to bless each and every man, woman, girl, boy, woman, and child in this earth, to bless them through that life and to let them know you have their way. You know what's best for them. You might not get everything you want, but that's not meaning it's not going to happen. God has what is best for you. Everything you want is not is not meaning to be good for you. You should only want what the Lord has for you, which is the best blessings, the best life, the best love and honor that it is. Lord, I ask you to bless us through these summer months to hold these demons and these devils and these hateful people, to help them to understand that what they're doing, the little games they might be playing on hurting people, whatever they call fun, it's not right. It's not right by you. To let them be taught and to understand that the devil is only going to help them his way, which is the wrong way. Make them understand that your way is the right way, it's the loving way, it's the caring way, and to bring much blessings in life. Lord, I thank you for to bless all the ones that's in the hospitals, at the doctors, at home, wherever they are, to let them know and to understand that praying to you and talking to you and living for you will be the best life they can all always have. No matter what you're going through, God, he can save it. He can settle it. He can show you the way. Just turn it over to the Lord. Lord, I ask you to bless this government, these law enforcement, and all the political help to let them understand we are here for all the people, not just some of the people, not just for yourself and your ways, but the ways that to deal and to help and support each and every human being on this earth. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you for waking us up this morning and to let us know that we are here another day, not just because you think it's because of you. If it wasn't for the grace of God, no matter what it was this morning that you thought woke you up, you would not have been here to hear it or to feel it. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you forever and ever. Back into your hands, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright.
Thank you so much. As we are waiting for Dr. Serena Wright, I just want to let you know that we are in Chicago. We are in between rainy days and today is a sunshiny day. Thank God for that. It's hot here. It's like 90 degrees. So I always say to family and friends, when it be hot like this, ooh, I thank God for being able to repent. Because if I'm complaining about this heat here on heaven, I mean, yeah, I'm like that on heaven. This, well, it's heat here on earth. Yeah, I know I can't go to hell. There's no relief. You find that in the Bible. There's no relief. So for those of you that's not for sure, if you don't have any reason to want to be saved or repent, that should be a good reason right there. And then along the line of living that life of being saved and sanctified after you repent, you will learn to enjoy the word of God as well as God, because there is rewards in heaven, and because the streets are paved with gold, guess what? We know it's going to be cool up there. So as we're working and praising God, you know, working is glorifying him, honoring him, praising him, giving him all the glory, all the praise. Therefore, that's your job. And I just want to say, God, I thank you for accepting my repentance, accepting me when I came to you and asked you to forgive me. God, I thank you for that, because Lord knows I don't want to, and I can't go to hell. And on that note, I'm going to see if Dr. Serena Wright, are you on the line yet?
I'm on the line.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank God for that. Dr. Wright is on the line. So for those of you that know her, we present you Dr. Wright. For those of you that don't know it, we present to you Dr. Serena Wright. Go ahead, Dr. Wright.
Thank you so much, woman of God. It is so always such a wonderful opportunity to be able to share the wisdom and the insight, the revelation and the freedom of the kingdom on this platform. We love this platform and those that host this platform, moderate this platform, and attend to this platform. We just thank God for what you have created for not only us, but for all of those that, like myself, go back to the archives of all of the listeners on the Smile 3E programming and listen to what God has given them. Sometimes throughout the week, I find myself wearied by what would be considered Christian television and Christian radio, and I want to hear someone speaking from the breath of God. I know I can always scroll through and pull up, download, and listen to the archives of Smile 3E. So I'm so grateful for this platform and for what it means for the earth. The earth is rejoicing because of what Smile 3E is depositing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I recognize that the WWW in front of Blog Talk means that the whole wide world gets an opportunity to hear the truth of the gospel. As much as I love this platform, I don't believe it's the only one where people can hear the truth, but I know that it is one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so we celebrate those that hold up the arms of Apostle Alexis Celia, that hold up her arms, that hold her up in prayer and in intercession and in petitioning and blessings and declarations and progress and forward movement as she advances, my God, the King's agenda. We thank God for all of you that will listen live and those that will listen in the archives. If you had the opportunity to be with us last time we were sharing, and if you follow what the Lord has given us in 2018, God gave us a theme of how he liberated the type and shadow. When we share from the Old Testament, please know that we are very much doctrinally sound and understand that we are New Testament believers. But the Old Testament reveals, hallelujah, the patterns and the ways of God, the heart of God, the characteristics of God, the outline of God, so that we can know him even more, so that we can embrace him and love him for the promises he gives us in his new covenant. And so if you are following us, then you know that in 2018 we carried that theme for how God himself stepped out and said that he would liberate the children of Israel and liberate them from oppression. And of course we know and understand that through Jesus Christ that he had finished the work, that sin no longer has dominion over us. But in that process, in that salvation, in that redemption, we must contend with that which is of the world, my goodness, because we're not of the world, but we're still in the world. I know you thought I mixed that scripture up. And so we are never to become of the world, but we must contend with what's in it. Because how do I know? Because he says all that's in the world is lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. And why did he tell us that? Because he said he would never leave us ignorant of Satan's devices. And so even though we are only in the world and not of it, we still must contend with that is of the world. We must contend with those habits that our flesh had adopted. We must contend with those things that we've seen in our homes. We must contend with the thought life that God is seeking to transform. We must contend with those wicked devices and the snares of the fowler, fiery darts. We must contend with the things of the world that are in the world, even though we are not of the world. We must contend with the things of the world. And so when you look into the Old Testament and we grab them patterns of success, things to avoid, the ways of God, his sovereign hand. We see that way of God, that image of God, that we look like him and that we have the authority that he has. He's restored us to it in the new covenant. And so in 2018, God had us to share, my goodness, had us to share about his liberating power, how much he cares for us and how much he loves us. And he will step right in the middle of your bondage, right in the middle of your confusion, right in the middle of a situation that absolutely nobody can help you out of but him. And he wanted us to be reassured that he hears us. He hears us crying. He only wants us to come closer, to come into him, to go and report to your adversaries or those thoughts in your mind or those circumstances or those social stigmas or those racial sentences or those unfair and unjust policies or those legislators or that violence or that anger. Go and report to your Pharaoh that you are leaving that land to serve and honor and worship your God. But that was then. That was then. And so as we have approached 2019, we had continued that theme, and then on last time, and the last time we shared, God began to warn us and say, I have come to liberate you, and I have set the course for you to be liberated, and if any of those things try to come after you, I myself will have them swallowed in that I have made a way for you by. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But still, there are things that you must watch. There are still things that you must watch. And so as we walk through the liberation of the children of Israel, God has begun to prophetically declare to us those things that we must watch. Somebody say watch. You know, because the New Testament says watch and pray. You have to be aware and intercede. You have to be aware and in relationship. You have to be aware and in relationship. There are some that are trying to, oh my goodness, trying to access the things of God, and they're not aware of who he is. They are not studying. They are not being taught. They are not letting someone teach them. They won't humble themselves before his mighty hand, and they have no relationship. Even though God is a wonderful God, he's a merciful God, and he's a loving God, he still has a way. Hallelujah. And it's not the way that seemeth right. Hallelujah. But he asks us to be aware and in relationship. And so he began to tell us on the last session, watch out for your appetites. They'll keep you stagnant. They'll hold you back. And he took us to the 16th chapter of Exodus. Don't turn there. Trust me. Trust me. Listen to the archives. The woman of God leaves them there. Don't turn there. Just trust me. In the 16th chapter of Exodus, he began to explain to us that even when he told the children of Israel he was going to liberate them, he paired their liberty with something related to food. He said, I'll take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. And if we are not of the spirit, we will say, why didn't he say a land flowing with silver and gold? Why didn't he say a land flowing with cows and sheep? Why didn't he say a land flowing with stock investments and rental property? Why would he say a land flowing with milk and honey? And so we begin to follow that theme, not only in the declarations of the Father, but in those things that hindered the children of Israel. There are many instances when they begin to murmur and complain, and we looked at scriptures where after they murmured and complained, we could dial back and say they begin to talk about food. We remember when we had this food in Egypt, and we remember when we had that, and you just brought us here to die. And so they would pair their despair with food. And so God began to show us through the mysteries of heaven that there are appetites that will prevent you from making progress through what God has already established to be yours. Father, we thank you. There are appetites. This was last month. Hallelujah. Appetites that will prevent us, that will hinder us, that what his plan was for the children of Israel was not to simply walk through dry places, but to end that time, let go of the appetite of bondage and adapt the appetite of prosperity. Let go of the appetite for poverty and create an appetite for prosperity. Let go of the appetite, my God, for infirmity, sickness, depression, bondage, abuse, low self-esteem, worthlessness, inadequacy, self-rejection, self-hatred. Oh, my God. Let go of the appetite for that and develop an appetite for freedom, liberty, prosperity, health, wealth, creativity, sufficiency, abundance, my God. God. Hallelujah. And so we had to recognize last session that we had to repent of some things that we had appetites for. What is an appetite? A longing, a desire to satisfy a need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A relational need, a provisional need, an emotional need, a spiritual need. We had to let go of those things that would give us appetites for those things that lead to bondage, and let the Spirit of the Lord teach us how to develop appetites for the things of the promise. My God, we thank you. And so we find ourselves there. And if you understand how the Spirit of the Lord will use some vessels, there are some apostles and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers and prophets. And in the gift of the prophetic teacher, there is a way to unlock the mysteries. God, we thank you. To unlock the mysteries in the revelation of God are those things that transform. Jesus, we thank you. There are those, the elements of God are locked in mysteries. It's all in Matthew. He says, I speak in parables. I speak in a way that you have to be so close to me that I unlock for you that is hidden, or you will just be able to understand the surface message. But that's not what we're here for. But the office of the prophetic teacher can unlock the mystery, meaning that if your heart is open, a prophetic teacher can pour into your belly that liberates. And so God would have us to share that we have got to acknowledge that if God has set a course, and if God himself has come down, and if God has interrupted the plan of your bondage, and if God has taken you from a promiscuous life or a drug-addicted life, an angry, violent, murderous life, if God himself stepped down into your bondage and he's dug you up from the deepest place of depression, if God himself stepped down into that place that was holding you captive and promised you that he would lead you to a land of abundance where life was good and overflowed, if there be any hindrance, then we've got to check ourselves, because God is not a man that he would lie, or the Son of Man that he would have to repent. If he has said it, God is the God that will make it good. And we've got to take that assurance into our journeys for freedom. My God, thank you, Jesus. We've got to take the assurance that this was not my best friend that promised, that this is God. This is not my Uncle Bobo, but this is God. God said, I put your name in there. I, Serena, have stepped down, and I will deliver you to a land up and out of the land of bondage into a land that flows, meaning there is unhindered, uninterrupted resources with milk and honey. My God, we thank you. And so we take that assurance onto the journey. Does that mean that there won't be hindrances? They will be. but we have to look at ourselves. The hindrance is not been manufactured by God. He's already made his purpose and plan clear. So what is the hindrance? It is because we are contending with our own mind, our will, our emotions, and the things that are of this world. My God, the Holy Ghost is talking to us tonight. We've got to be realistic. We cannot no longer afford to be the turnaround in a circle. Tap your neighbor and say you're free. That is true. Anyone that is born of the Father is free, but you still have got to contend. Oh, my God, I thank you. You still have got to know that the kingdom of darkness will oppose you and send to you fixed fights. You've got to know that your emotions in places that have not been transformed will oppose the promise, that your will in places that have not been transformed, my God will oppose the promise. And so God in his wonderful, loving, relentless fashion will come and say, daughter, son, you're getting held up right now on the path to promise. And let me tell you what the problem is. Oh, let me tell you how to exercise your authority against the adversary that's trying to hold up what I have for you. Son, let me show you that it's right here. Remember when this and this and this, now the enemy is trying to use that against you. But I'll never leave you ignorant of his devices. My plan was not that he gain advantage over you again. And so God is taking us. Ah, thank you, Father. So God is taking us systematically. Oh, my God, I wish you would go back and listen. Somebody say thank God for Apostle Alexis Cecilia Kaiser and the archives. I just pray that you go back. Grab anyone. All of them are dynamic. I wish you would tell God thank you for Apostle Alexis Cecilia Kaiser and the archives. Go back, because I promise you, God is systematically walking you. Oh, my God, from where you begged him to bring you out of right into the promise. Thank you, Jesus. And so we've got to acknowledge that some of the problem was our appetites, that we were trying to make the journey from bondage to promise, from Egypt to milk and honey without changing our appetites. We still wanted pomegranates, and we still wanted onions, and we wanted to reminisce as if we weren't enslaved and being beaten and raped. And so God had begun to challenge us, change your appetites. I've connected these places of liberty to food because I want you to change your appetite. You know, the thing about God is that he finished what we couldn't do, and then he makes our responsibility to do what we can do very clear. Oh, my God. God makes it very clear. Daughter, I've done what you couldn't do. Sin no longer has dominion. Sin cannot dominate my children. Oh, but your responsibility is to seek the kingdom. Your responsibility, oh my God, is to seek my face. Your responsibility is to pray fervently. Your responsibility, oh my goodness, I just thank God that he has delivered us through the revelation that this is not going to come while you're sitting at home watching TV and binge watching Law and Order. No, no, no. You've got to do your part. Oh, he did the part we couldn't do. Then he left us with his authority. But you've got to get up and declare it. Oh, my God, he did what we couldn't do. And then he left us with his Holy Spirit that will endue us with power over all the power of the enemy. He did what we could not do. Oh, my God, he went into hell and got the keys. And then he says, now I've given you the keys to the kingdom. You must speak what has already been spoken and released in heaven and create heaven on earth. My God, you've got to do your part. And so he's beseeching us that we've got to change our appetites, which brings us to today. I promise.
promise you, I've only got four things to share, and when the Holy Ghost is done, we're going to be done. If you will turn with us to Numbers 11. Oh, I guarantee you, if you had a heart that was open, God is trying to tell you, I'm systematically walking you through. Oh, my God. Yeah, I know I told you to leave that, and I didn't tell you exactly where you'd be going. I didn't tell you the exact latitude and longitude of the land of milk and honey, but I'm walking you through. I'm walking you through step by step. I'm telling you, watch for this and watch for that. And I'm still here with you, son. I've got you, daughter. Just come on closer to me. Come on and walk with me. Come on, let it be you and I. Come on and let it be about the promise. Go ahead and take your responsibility. You've got to come to me about those appetites, those things in you that long to be mistreated, those things in you that long to be destroyed. Oh my God. I know we don't like to talk about the ugly places. We don't like to reveal our ugly truths. In church, we're always blessed and highly favored. But there are some people that will be honest before the king and say, God, it's something about gluttony I like. Oh, my God, it's something about doing the exact opposite of what you say that I always find myself doing. Yeah, Paul did too. Oh, my God, don't let the people in church that never have anything wrong with them convinced that something's wrong with you when you say, God, I know exactly what you told me to do, and I did the opposite. Oh, but he's still systematically walking us through. He says, I'm the God that'll never leave you. I'm the God that'll never forsake you. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. If you will turn with me to Numbers chapter 11, I've got four things to share. Four things to share. I hope you let the Holy Ghost walk you through to the promise. I hope you decide to have a relationship with him. Become fully aware of who he is in his godness, and then develop a relationship with the true and living God. He'll walk you through. He'll walk you out and walk you in. My God in heaven, turn to Numbers 11. Turn to Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. I am reading from the Amplified Bible. And the people grumbled and deplored their hardship. These are the children of Israel. These are the people that he promised to liberate. They're grumbling. And they deplored their hardships, which was evil in the ear of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and devoured those in the outlying parts of the camp. And the people cried to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire subsided. He called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Verse 4, and the mixed multitude among them, the rabble, who followed Israel from Egypt, began to lust greatly for familiar and dainty food. And the Israelites wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish we ate freely in Egypt and without cost, the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now our soul, our strength is dried up. There's nothing at all in the way of food to be seen but this manna. The manna is like coriander, and its appearance is like bedlam. And it goes on and on, and it tastes, in verse 8, it tastes like cakes baked with fresh oil. It tastes like cakes baked with fresh oil. It says, and we don't have anything at all in the way of food but this manna. When we are introduced to the children of Israel in the 11th chapter of Numbers, this is where we are. I just explained to you, these are the exact same people that God is systematically walking out of bondage. He has set them up on a path and a course for freedom. He says, I am personally going to escort you, and if anybody tries to stop you, I will devour them. My God. And we still meet them in the 11th chapter of Numbers. Somebody say grumbling. Hallelujah. That's why the Holy Ghost was saying, don't you pay any attention to those people in church that never have a problem. Every time you see them, they dress in a polka dot skirt and skipping like Mary Poppins, because they never grumble, they never back up, and I'm not mad at you if you're them. But I'm telling you, I have been on a path where God said exactly what he was going to do, and I find myself weary and complaining. Even though it says very clearly in the New Testament, don't be weary in well-doing, I still found myself doing it. I plain needed deliverance. And that's exactly where we find the children of Israel. They are on the path to sure deliverance, prosperity, and abundance that has no end. And we find them grumbling and complaining. And you heard me read it, that it was evil in the ears of the Lord, and he devoured some of them. He just simply killed them. He said, I'm simply not going to do it. And what did they do? They got afraid, and they went to Moses, and they said, Moses, do something. Do something. God is starting to kill the people that are in the outlying parts of the camp because we were complaining. And then Moses goes, and he prayed, and the fire subsided. Hallelujah. That's a message all in itself, because we do have those situations in life where we find ourselves somewhere we shouldn't be. We find ourselves in a situation we just shouldn't be in. We find ourselves taking things that are not ours, stealing things taking things that don't belong to us, dealing with people that we shouldn't have any interaction with, having negative internal dialogue. The dialogue that you wouldn't tell your worst enemy is the way you talk to yourself. You find ourselves in places that we shouldn't be, and we cry out to God, and we say, God, oh my goodness, I did it again. But God, I promise you, I know I'm in this depressed place again. I know I spent my rent money again. I know I just blew up in anger. It was just like a moment. I was so angry, I couldn't believe it. I know I was nothing but ungrateful when you've been so, and God, forgive me. I mean, we go to him, and we stay there until the weight and the burden of that thing is lifted. Somebody say the fire subsided. And you say, God, thank you. You are wonderful, God. I appreciate how you answer me. And 25 seconds later, you find yourself in the fourth verse. My God in heaven. That's why the Bible says God said he would never leave us. He would never forsake us, because sometimes we are eligible for forsakenness. My God, sometimes, have you ever gotten tired of yourself and say, I cannot believe, talking to yourself, I cannot believe you did that again. I cannot believe you said that again. I cannot believe. Oh, but God's not like that. He said that even if we backslide, he'd stay in covenant with us. Yeah, I'm all in the scripture. He says, I'm married to you. I'll never leave you. I love you with a love that's not only everlasting, but everlasting. My God, we thank you. And so we find ourselves as people, even with those that are full of promise and purpose, those that live in the destiny of God, we find ourselves murmuring and repenting, and the fire subsides, and the burden is broken, and the yoke is stripped away, and the liberty of God burst in our belly, and we are then right back at the fourth verse. And it says, and the mixed multitude among them. And so God began to talk to me about the mixed multitude, because he says, not only do I need you to recognize your responsibility in changing your appetites, changing the things you desired, like I mentioned last session, this session I want to talk to you about the mixed multitude, because daughter, you will get yourself into a situation. Oh, my God. How many people say they can be so complicated? You'll get yourself into a situation, and then you'll come to me, and you'll say, God, I did it again. I went to that place that I shouldn't go, and I smoked that. I said that. I thought that. My heart was wicked to that person, even though I didn't show it. My God. Yes, Lord, we thank you. And you repent, and the fire subsides, and you and I are back in a seamless relationship. We're back in seamless covenant. But then there is the mixed multitude. And let's look at how the mixed multitude affected them. Now, they had just come out of a place where they had gone to Moses as the leader and asked him to help for help. They cried out for help because it had gotten really bad. And God answered Moses, and the fire subsided. And then the next thing we talk about in the scripture is the mixed multitude. And it says it was among them, and the Bible calls them the rabble, who followed Israel from Egypt, began to lust greatly for familiar and dainty things, and the Israelites wept again. Why does it say wept again? Because in the first verse, they were weeping. They were grumbling. They were weeping. They were complaining of their hardships and weeping. And then in the first, second, and third verse, they repented to God, oh, follow me, because the Holy Ghost is talking so good. And you know you did too. You know you were disrespectful to your husband. You know you were dishonorable to your wife. You know you were unnecessarily harsh to your children. You know that you were dishonest on your job. And you repented. And then you, right before you know it, you're in the fourth verse. And so then God says, and this is the other problem we're having. Not only your appetites, not just your times when you find yourself needing to repent, but what I also want you to understand is that any time I have directed you toward the promise, there will be those that will try to follow. My Bible says that the rabble followed Israel from Egypt. The Bible called them, first of all, the mixed multitude, and then referred to them as the rabble. And then it says it followed Israel from Egypt. They were the ones that began to lust. They were the ones that began to talk about what happened back when. They were the ones that wanted the dainty foods that were no longer allowed. They were the ones that end up leading the Israelites back into weeping. Now, somebody say, please identify the mixed multitudes. Please, you all, let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost is talking so good. There are some people that cannot, somebody say cannot, they cannot go with you to the promise. My God in heaven, God calls them the mixed multitude, the rabble. And there is a term, there is a colloquial term called rabble rousers. But if you look up the word rabble, usually when we say a rabble rouser, we mean a troublemaker, somebody that's always into something, a rabble rouser. But if you look up the word rabble, it says the uncouth, the low class, the dregs of society, those that are confused and angry, profane, that they're unseemly, that they're just rabble. They're all over the place and represent those things that are low and those things that are unseemly, that are contemptuous, those things that are low class. The Bible says unwashed and confused, a gang, thugs. Look it up for yourself. The Bible says delinquents. And then it goes on to say the ordinary, the common people. My God, please identify your mixed multitude. Not only do we have to take authority over our Egyptian appetites, we've got to identify our mixed multitudes. We've got to identify the people, not only the appetites that are trying to linger from Egypt, but the people. Somebody say the people. I mean your best friend people. I mean your auntie girlfriend people. Lord have mercy. If God doesn't identify them as Israel, identify them as the people. You've got to identify the mixed multitude and the rabble. Lord, help me, Jesus, because it said that the rabble began to lust, but then the Israelites begin to weep. Why in the world would a follower's lust make you cry? Oh, my God, because you've gone back into doing what they do. But you wouldn't dare say you lust. You just cried because you wish you could lust. You wouldn't dare ask God, say, God, would you please just give me some more of Pharaoh's food? But you sure complain talking about how you wish you had it. Oh, I hope you can hear the Holy Ghost. See, because it was the mixed multitude. It was the rabble. It's the things that are trying to follow you out of Egypt. Those things are not even of royal descent. Those things are not even the king's people. There are people, their appetites, their places, their ways of appearance, their types of clothing, my God, their websites, oh, they're a rabble, oh, they're just come to bring confusion, they're profane and ungodly, they're of the low class, their mindsets, they're proud, they're arrogant, they refuse to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. Oh, you know your rabble, my God in heaven. You know your best friend, rabble. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, you know your boyfriend, rabble. Yes, you do. You know your title, rabble. And before anybody say your name, they got to say your rabble title. Oh, the Holy Ghost is talking. Oh, you need to tell everybody, just call me servant. Oh, yeah, because somewhere in that title is your rabble. You think you all that add the chips. And it takes you right back into pride, and pride takes you right back into weeping. Oh, my God, it's the mixed multitude that begin to lust. Somebody say lust. And by the time the mixed multitude got done with the children of Israel in the fourth verse, they said, who will even give us meat to eat? Somebody say mistrust. Don't you know that they began to adopt the lust of the rabble, and then they began to mistrust. Somebody say lust and mistrust. It's nothing but the rabble. Oh, my God, that rabble that's trying to follow you to the promise. You better look back at that prideful rabble, and you better look back at that gossiping, backstabbing, two-faced rabble. Oh, yeah, that's your best friend, and you love to hear her gossip. You just sit on the phone while she gossip and don't say nothing because she's a rabble. All because you're eating all that poison, and before long, you're going to be lusting and weeping, and then you're going to be mistrusting the very God that you need to lead you out of your bondage. Lord, I thank you. Somebody say lust and mistrust. The Bible says all that's in the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All that's in your rabble is lust and mistrust. It was their lust that started the thing. The children of Israel had just gotten back into the good graces of their God. They had just cried out to Moses and the fire subsided. But they couldn't identify the rabble. They couldn't identify the mixed multitude. The Bible says that the mixed multitude followed them out of Israel, but somehow or another, the promised people end up following them back into weeping. Lord, have mercy. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Don't you know that if you keep dealing with low-class people, even though you're called to wonderfulness, you'll end up following them that should be following you. You'll end up following them back to low-classness. You'll end up following them back to rebellion. You'll end up following them that should be following you. My God, somebody say lust and mistrust. All that's in the rabble is lust and mistrust. I don't care if your best friend rabble. I don't care if it's your mama rabble. Oh, my God, you better get with the chosen people. I got a Bible scripture where Jesus says, who is my mother? Who is my father? I know you thought I was in my flesh. That's because you don't read your Bible. He said, oh, only them that do the work of the Father. There are times when if you show me your rabble, you're going to have to follow and I'm going to have to lead. Lord, the Holy Ghost loves us so much. Let me tell you something. It's not only your appetite. You've got to take authority over those things that are trying to follow you out of Egypt. They're trying to follow you, but that's because you're letting them. You know how I know? Because when Pharaoh tried to follow the people, they got drowned in the Red Sea. Oh, but somehow or another, the rabble are right here in the 11th chapter of Numbers. That's because they are being allowed to follow. There are some things we've got to understand, that we've got authority over that thing. If you allow that person's gossip to contaminate you, start to make you lust and distrust, somebody say it's because you allow. If you allow that person's bigoted hatred to make you angry and hateful, somebody say it's because you allowed it. I don't care what kind of racist, sexist, discriminatory, lack of justice, impartial, Lord, unrighteous, unholy, oh, lascivious, lewd policies, legislations, and rules Babylon sets up that don't have nothing, hit your chest and say, don't have nothing to do with me. I'm all under the king's dominion. I would dare not let the hatred of Babylon, let the racist of an uncircumcised people, let the hatred of those that are uncircumcised and foolish contaminate my heart that is filled with the unconditional love of God. Somebody say that's just rabble. Oh my God, don't you dare let those that should be following lead you back into weeping. Identify them. Say, yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. Let's pray. You know how you gonna identify your rabble? By walking in your promise. Oh my God, I thank you. Because see, I'm on my way somewhere. See, I'm on my way to abundance. I'm on my way to a land that flows with milk and honey. I'm on my way there. And on the way, God has given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. God has given me his Holy Spirit to comfort me. So if sis, if you're in distress, or sir, if you're in distress, I don't care if it is your boss. Say, you know what? I know that this may not be the arena for this, but if you will let me call you after hours, I'd like to share something with you. My God, we don't have to be unseemly to be effective. Let me tell you something. I don't care what the situation is. You don't have to be disrupted to identify your rabble. Just because your supervisor may be rabble and you have to align with their authority in the workplace, it doesn't mean you have to let their hatred then lead you into hatred. I hope you can hear the Holy Spirit. Oh my God. But let us not be mistaken. There is some rabble we need to clean cut off. I'm going to show you why. He said, so not only did it lead them to lust, somebody saying mistrust. So there in the fourth verse, and they were saying, who will give us meat to eat? Now, these are the exact same people that God has done miracles for. He's opened up the unopenable. Yeah, that's a word because I just said it. He's done the impossible right before their eyes. But because they start following those that are just full of unrighteousness and unholiness, uncouth and common, they start following the low class and the disorderly, the unwashed and the confused, they're doing nothing but mistrusting. They don't even know who God is. They no longer even know what God will do. Well, who will give us meat to eat? They're almost indignant. Oh, my God, and filling up with pride. In the fifth verse, it says, and we remember the fish we ate freely in Egypt and without cost, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks. I mean, they're making a whole menu. And the Bible says we remember the fish we ate freely in Egypt and without cost. Somebody say disgust. They're so disgusted. They're sitting there, they're like, look, all we got is manna. At least in Egypt, we ate free, and it wasn't no fresh oil cakes. What does fresh oil taste like anyway? Absolutely nothing. When I had a cucumber, melon, an onion, I had garlic, I could season my meat. Oh, let me tell you, they was getting all inside themselves. They're getting disgusted with this whole promise concept. My God, let me tell you something. There are some rabble that are so profane and disorderly, you need to leave them right where they stand, because they'll get you so full of yourself, you'll be convinced you, and who is God anyway, and why is all that necessary? I do pray, and I do all that, and the minute somebody gives you counsel, you trying to clap back and say what you do, and what you do have, that's because you've been listening to the rabble, mind. How can you say you ate fish without cost when they were raping your children and making you build bricks for their profit? They had enslaved you. They had degraded you and dehumanized you. They had abused you and tortured you, and you so deceived by the pride, the lust, and the mistrust of the rabble that you open your mouth and say, well, at least we did this without cost. It was costing you your dignity. It was costing you your respect. It was costing you your increase. It was costing you your abundance. Do you know how foolish it is to get with the rabble and say, well, at least I had this when I wasn't saved. Well, at least, you know, well, at least when I wasn't saved, I could get the man to do what I wanted to. Are you out of your mind? But you were selling your soul and your Jesus, Lord, help me today. You were selling everything you had. Don't you know there is some rabble? You should leave them where they stand. They're disorderly and profane. They're common and they're lowlife. Look it up for yourself. I wouldn't make these words up. They are in the definition. God said they should be following you and you somewhere letting them lead. If you let them lead long enough, you will be so deluded. You will be so distracted. You will have lost focus that this is not about food. This is about promise. God, I thank you right now. How do we know it's not about food? Because he says that the rabble begin to lust greatly for familiar and dainty what? My Bible say food. And then one more verse down, what are the children of Israel talking about? Somebody say food. And see, he was talking about how he chipped out on his wife, and now what you talking about, chipping out on yours? She was talking about, yeah, girl, well, he just hit me once, and now your boyfriend did what? Hit you once. Oh, let me tell you something. If you think the rabble won't influence you, the Bible's trying to tell you it will. They're coming. They're unseemly. They're not the people of promise. I know you wish that just like Rodney King, everybody could get along, but we can't. Somebody say, nope, we can't, because there are some people that the Bible identifies as the uncircumcised. I know you want me to get over into the New Testament. Look in Ephesians 5, verse 11. It'll knock your eyes out. It say, if there are any among the brethren that are still into sexual vices, lusting, and those things that satisfy the flesh, don't even associate with them. Please don't try to tell me, oh, my God, that we're all the same. Oh, God's got a thing about his people. God's got a thing about those in relationship. And he's just trying to warn us about the rabble. He doesn't want us to take them lightly. Because first of all, they were lusty, and they end up leading the chosen people of God, somebody say, to lust and mistrust. And they were talking about food. They were in this carnal place, talking about how and what they could eat. And before you know it, the children of Israel that had just gotten back in their right place with God were back doing the dummy, were back talking about cucumbers. How is the journey to promise now about a vegetable plate? My God in heaven. Why is it that now the matrimony, the covenant that God has given you is now about to dissolve because he won't buy you a 2019 car? I'm going to bring it on your block. Why is it that the children you begged God for, now it's about that they won't do exactly what you say when you did all they're doing and some? Why, how has it gotten down to that? Why is it not about what God promised you about your son? Why is it not about what God promised you about your wife? Now, why is it not about what God promised you about your destiny? Somebody somebody say, because of the rabble, because of the rabble. Go ahead, identify them. That's what God told me to tell you. Identify them. Put a big red X on them in the spirit realm and say, I see right now. You can't lead me anywhere. You got to follow. I may not be able to prevent you from being on my course, but you better stay behind me. Didn't my Bible say, get thee behind me, Satan? Jesus didn't even take Satan off the map. He just told him exactly where to go. You better begin to exercise authority over your rabble. Exercise authority over that thing. Say, no, I don't lust for anything but what God has made provision for. I don't want anything but what God has said. I am only on a course to the promise. I would dare not mistrust my God, and I am clearly focused. God, we thank you. I'm not lusting for anything that God has not said is not mine. No, I don't want to reminisce about bondage like I was having fun. I was being tortured and mistreated. I was being abused and misused. I was depressed and oppressed. Oh, my God, I thank you. No, there's nothing about that I want to reminisce about. And I dare not mistrust my God. Oh, this is only about destiny. This is only about the promise. This is only about me putting one foot in front of the other so I can make this journey short and effective. I'm going to the land that flows with milk and honey. There's nothing before me but prosperity and abundance. There's nothing before me but destiny and promise. My declarations are that God has said it and he shall surely bring it to pass. I align my appetites and identify my rabble. I align my appetites and identify my rabble. I'm laser focused. I trust my God. I'm laser focused and I trust my God. Godliness and contentment are my great gain. Oh God, we thank you today. We give your name, God, the praise and the glory. We thank you, Father, right now that you simply have instructed us to identify our rabble. We will not let them lead, but they can, but they will follow. They will follow us as we stay focused. We won't be distracted. We won't be distracted by their lust-filled appetites. We won't be distracted by their carnal desires. My God, but we're laser-focused on destiny. We're laser focused on the promise. And we thank you right now. Only you, God, love us the way you do. Only you, Father, love us the way you do. And we thank you now. We give your name the praise. We give your name the glory. And we give your name the honor, both now and forever. Woman of God, it's back to you.
Oh, my God, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, put it in my spirit. I want to be a leader and not a follower. I thank you, woman of God, for those words on tonight. You have struck so many places in such a short time, and I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for the fireworks on tonight. We are going to open up the lines, Apostle Elect. Cecilia Kaiser, please open up the lines. And for any and everyone that wants to say something, please go ahead.
Good evening.
Amen.
Good evening. Good evening. Go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Minister Sheila. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser. I want to thank Dr. Serena for them words. I mean, they were so powerful, so real, so much needed, and so true. I just want to say thank you. I thank you, and I thank you. Have a nice one, and forever keep the word coming, because you know how to deliver them. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister Sheila, for those words of encouragement. Possibly, Lex Cecilia Kaiser, are you ready?
Dr. Wright, this is Cecilia. Thank you so much for reminding us about the subtleness and the deceitfulness of pride and how it creeps in. You know, even the word reminds us of that and how it can creep in just in reminiscing. It can creep in just in people that want to act like they're your followers when in actuality they're that agent of the enemy. Oh, I've just got so many nuggets from the word on tonight, and I just thank God for you. Like you were saying, even when you're dealing with hypocrisy and racism and sexism and thinking you have the right to be angry, I mean, there's just so much in the word that you preached on tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Apostle-elect, for those words of encouragement to the woman of God. Is there anyone else that have words on tonight? If not, we're going to ask Dr. Wright if she have any cheap plugs that she would like to give us on tonight concerning South of the Living Waters Ministry or any other thing that she feels we need to know.
We just are so excited to announce. Is there a drum roll sound effect? My birthday! Yay!
Oh,
that's
wow.
It. That's it. So, yes, yes, yes. I am just so grateful for what God has allowed us to accomplish. We had just finished a missions outreach to Kenya, and I'm making this as an announcement because I'm going to hit everybody up. We've got some amazing projects, and we've got some new support efforts that we've got coming up, and we know that everybody can't do all of it, but nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. And so we do want to just let you all know we're going to be hitting your inbox at a time very, very in the short distant future. We've got an amazing school that we want to get more school supplies to, and the list goes on and on, but it is such a small sacrifice if we all contribute. And so we are just developing that part of the ministry is such an amazing outreach. And so thank you for all that were watching and following with us on Facebook when we had internet access. And so just continue to pray with us as we continue that outreach. It is growing really, really quickly, but it is exactly what God has called us to do. And other than that, we don't have anything else.
Okay, thank you, woman of God. So, as you all see, as promised, the fireworks, we got that. We got the sparklers for lighting up the word. We have the M80s for blowing up the word. So tonight we want to tell you happy 4th of July. Be safe. Stay prayerful. Stay up before God. Keep your heart, your mind, and your soul guided towards God. Ask God, if you're not saved or you haven't repented, ask God to put it in your heart, give you a desire to be saved as well as to repent. Remember, all you're going to do is change partners, the one that gives life and that more abundantly. And I just want you to know we'll also be back here next Monday night from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with another speaker on Blog Talk. Also, probably on Facebook also, it should be our very own pastor, servant, Troy Thomas. And don't forget, every Friday, myself, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, along with Minister Sheila Kaiser, will be on Let's Talk Facebook Live at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will also be here on Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with Let's Talk with Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Sheila Kaiser, and Minister Brandon Kaiser. And with all that being said, remember, Blog Talk is here for your educational experience with getting to know the Word of God and helping you with your relationship with God and understanding God. So I'm going to say to you all, don't forget our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And now that I said all that, I would like to ask the woman of God, Dr. Serena Wright, if she will pray us out to start off this week, this month, and this holiday season that is upon us.
Absolutely. God, we do thank you for this holiday season. We do thank you for the angels of the Lord that be encamped round about us, God, especially for the Midwest region and specifically Chicago. God, that the angels of the Lord, God, that you have given us authority over, be released to bring not only safety, but bring us to a place of wisdom and insight. We thank you now. Hallelujah. We take authority, God, over that is violent and murderous. God, that brings torture and terror in certain areas, in certain neighborhoods. We take authority over it now in the name that is above every other name. And Father, we thank you for the word that you've sown into our hearts on tonight, that we would identify those things that are trying to bring us to a place of weeping, just as once we restore to try to take us back to lust, to mistrust, to be disgusted and prideful before the God that loves us so much. We thank you now, God, that we have received your word with open hearts, and it shall only bring forth the fruit of right living. And for that, we give you praise, glory, and honor both now and forever. In Jesus' name we do say and make all of our petitions. Amen.
Amen. We thank you all again for listening. And with that being said, we want to say good night. We love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. Good night, everyone.